I was feeling very afraid. I just completely began to deteriorate, and I was on antidepressants, off antidepressants, having intense and insane anxiety. And it was unfortunate that it had to be tied in with something that I love.
Welcome back to the Morning News.
Welcome back to the Morning News, your number one weekly interview podcast. Thank you for listening and sharing. We have such an exciting episode for you today. Our guest is trailblazing R&B singer and songwriter, Miss Fila Lala. How are you doing?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I really can't complain. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It means so much to us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
It's really the start of a new year. So happy new year. Are you also a new year, new me resolutions type of person?
Definitely. I feel like I'm kind of on the same page as everybody else. I do and I don't, you know. And I think like throughout the years, we find ourselves not having strict New Year's resolutions, but somehow completing them without even realizing or taking time to reflect that, oh, I actually did that thing that I kind of thought at the beginning of the year I wanted to do.
I don't know if you've been told this, but you have a very unique voice. And you spoke about goal setting. Do you think you necessarily set more goals at the start of the year to act as a guide to what you need to do and how your year should move?
No, I wouldn't say it's at the start of the year anymore. I feel like time is constant, but we aren't. And so it's really difficult to set goals in accordance with it. I just kind of let things flow exactly the way that they're supposed to, especially at the beginning of the year. I feel like if I start stressing about, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, January's here. I have to give it to God at some point and flow into the year rather than run into the year.
That's such an interesting statement. Time is constant, but we aren't. Look at you just dropping gems on the podcast.
Yeah.
You're a very talented musician, and the concept of being an artist just really intrigues me because I'm always fascinated on the point at which you decide to pursue a full-time career. And when was that for you?
I definitely say the end of 2019, just before we got into this COVID mess. I had finished my degree and, you know, it was pretty much, okay, do I be a lawyer or do I do what I love? Not to say that I don't have love for law, because I do. You know, music has been so instinctual throughout my life, to a point where it couldn't be ignored and it demanded my attention. But yeah, I think end of 2019, it was a very much, what do I have to lose, really? I have the fallback that everybody said I should have. So what do I have to lose at this point? Let me pursue it.
Wasn't it extremely challenging committing to a new career path and then facing this huge obstacle, which was the pandemic?
Yes and no. I think because the pandemic forced us to exist online more, it helped me get into contact with Mike Colombo, who really changed my life. Yes, because, you know, I didn't know much about the industry at that point. I had some exposure, but it wasn't really the most positive exposure. It was kind of the side of the industry that is extremely detrimental to your mental health and your self-esteem. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what exactly to do other than to just make music. The term breaking into the industry was like, how do I do that? I was like, what does that even mean? Like, it was very foreign to me. And I think at that point, maybe it wasn't even something that I was thinking about. I just wanted to have music that sounded like me out and to just give that side of myself finally, because I'd spent so many years doubting it and being worried about not being fully realized and being worried about how it would be received and all of that. So the lockdown, I would say it had more of a positive effect on my realization of myself as an artist, because it was quiet and because people were connected on all of these platforms and people were feeling so much more sentimental as well about life and existence. I mean, we were faced with a pandemic for like the first time in all of our lives. Everything kind of just came at the right time.
That's such an interesting perspective on life during the pandemic. And you highlighted the detrimental effects on your mental health. May you go a bit more in depth on that?
I was just in a situation. I think it's like this in any industry, like you have to find your people. And I think I was in a situation where I was not with my people. I was in a musical conglomerate that wasn't really a reflection perception of me or what I believe in musically or what I was interested in doing at the time. And I was feeling very small and overlooked and not very listened to. I was feeling very afraid that that opportunity was my only opportunity. Tussling between, am I wasting my time or am I doing the right thing? Should I stick it through with the idea that I'll struggle first now and then there will be some sort of oasis? But that never happened. And so I just completely began to deteriorate and I was so beside myself. You know, at that point I was on antidepressants, off antidepressants, just really going through it, having intense and insane anxiety. And it was unfortunate that it had to be tied in with something that I love as much as music, but it was also such a learning curve. I needed it in some ways and I survived it. And, you know, we're here and it did toughen me up a bit. It did thicken my skin up a little bit. And it also taught me to rely on myself more. I think artists, we labor under these notions and illusions that we can't do things for ourselves. Because of that, a lot of our dreams die early, because when we believe that people can't do things for us, they won't happen. They won't come into fruition.
I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. I really believe that we've come to romanticize success and everyone gets to see side A, which is the money and the fame, but they don't get to see side B, which you speak about, which are these mental struggles, anxiety and all.
Definitely.
But I'm really sorry that you had to go through that and I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I feel very proud as well. I do. I mean, I'm super excited about the way that the music has been received.
You spoke about people not necessarily wanting the best for you. Coming into this industry at such a young age, I can imagine that there was so much pressure and that you probably weren't as confident as you are now. In your early days in music, did you feel the need to sound like someone else?
Definitely. You reach a point where you feel this intense pressure to be something else because all the attention is being put on something else, or that you were being told consistently that something else is what's going to work for you. And listen to yourself less. And you want to manifest a version of you that maybe you could be, but are not ready to be at the time because you haven't explored the current version of you. That was a difficult thing for me. I think that was the one time in my life that I sounded the least like myself.
How did you manage to get over that?
I mean, I've always been pretty intuitive. It took learning to trust myself again and learning to trust my decisions to pursue music, utter trust in myself and in my ability to accomplish something, you know, to finish a law degree took trust. You do reach moments where you kind of have a mental tug of war, but ultimately that intuition, that feeling is always there. You know, that gut feeling is always there. It's always there to guide you in some ways.
I really should have asked this earlier, but where did your love for music come from?
I always had it. Since I was a child, I always loved music. I always loved how music made me feel. And I always wanted to emulate that feeling myself. I always had that relationship with music. I did feel like I wasn't given a lot of opportunities to explore it because I come from a family of music lovers, but not musical people. There's a deep appreciation for art and culture and creativity, but there's very little of it happening in the household. I was the only one that was doing all of these weird things. There wasn't a huge cultivation of it in my upbringing. And so a lot of my journey had to do with my love for music and also my trust in this intuition that I had from a young age.
Was it not difficult now telling your family that you wanted to pursue a music career rather than a career in law?
It was difficult, yes. It was difficult. And I have said this before that it wasn't difficult because they didn't believe in me. It was difficult because they were just afraid. Everybody wants to see their kid be all right, especially a kid who's got so much light in them and an endless world of possibilities. The arts is something that is really difficult for people to grapple with in terms of it being a professional career. And our parents grew up in an era where professions are a particular thing. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, engineers, you know what I mean? So it was something that they knew people did with their lives, but it was not something that they envisioned their children to do. But after the EP came out, it became much clearer to them and what it could be.
Did the EP change their views and help them become more supportive in that regard?
Oh, once the EP came out, like, they were on board. Everybody was on the same page.
That's very interesting. And I think it's just the thought of how you always want your kids to have a better life than yours. And careers like musicians, they're really frowned upon upon, because I think our parents realized that it's very hard to be successful and to actually make a living off making music.
Definitely.
And they obviously don't want you to go into a career that's going to damage you or that's going to leave you with nothing.
I think that's why I was so understanding of it, and I wasn't resentful at all about it, because I understood that as well. And I understood that as much as I love music, it is something that does have the potential to ruin my life. Even now, I still feel very like, ooh, you know, anything can happen. And it's almost like the more attention I get, the more I have to be cautious of, you know, myself and my space and who I have around me. And it's crazy. It's really crazy. This is a crazy career. And I do believe that only crazy people do it.
So would you consider yourself crazy?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
You spoke about this career being very crazy. And do you have any crazy stories that have ever happened to you?
It's just, yeah, it's just general, like just meeting really strange characters in this industry and having very strange experiences. I mean, like, this is the type of industry where people always assume that when you're in it and when you're meeting people that you probably have seen on your screens since you were a kid or whatever, what have you, when you're meeting other musicians that you admire or all of that, people always assume that the crowds, these entourages, these lights and all of that, that it's very hostile. But it's actually the opposite. There's very little that's hostile about it up front. Everything about it is so inviting and crazy. Then crazy stuff starts happening. You could lose yourself. That's all I can say about that. It's just that it's a very crazy environment and you have to be very protective of your space.
On the topic of being protective in the space, how important do you think having the right people around you has been for your career?
It's probably been, if I was to list it, top five important things, and it's not five. No, it's very important to have the right people around you who genuinely love you and genuinely care about your well-being and want to see you shine, but also want to ground you and reassure you.
Since 2019 to where you are now, you've done so well. And have you ever come across people who didn't necessarily have your best interests at heart? Be it friends, be it family, managers and all?
Definitely. Definitely. I'm happy that that kind of stuff happened or is happening, because I do feel like I'm in the early side of my career, but it's happening in an earlier part of my career, because it's so much easier now to tell the difference. And I also am very grateful that they happened a little bit deeper into my early 20s, almost mid 20s. Yeah. I think if I was any younger, because I know myself, like as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old or whatever, I was an idiot. I'm very glad that I was able to recognize when certain crowds of people weren't good for me to be around, and to just be discerning and to be strict with myself as well, and understand that you're not missing out on anything when it comes to people who don't really care.
You spoke about your younger self, and do you think you became more mature and more serious in terms of goals and with your life after that stage?
Yeah, I think while I was studying my degree, I had a very playful nature, a very nonchalant attitude about life. But then my father passed away and everything just kind of, it was like an atomic bomb inside my body. It was just so many things happening at once, so many thoughts, so many feelings, and so many now new responsibilities towards myself, towards my family. It became very clear that the time to be a kid was over, or to at least have not so positive childish tendencies was over.
I think that's very similar to me, because in high school I was just really a problem and it was just seeking validation. But my wake up call was nearly passing away, because I was diagnosed with meningitis. And from there, I remember going to the doctor, and the doctor saying that day, if you hadn't come today, you were going to die. But at no point did I think I was going to pass away. So I was in hospital for 2 weeks. And I think a situation like that, most people can think, oh, this was probably the worst time in his life. But I really think if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be where I am today, because I really got to realize that I wasn't living for me, I was living for validation. It really just changed my perspective on everything. And I saw that if you don't do things that are genuine to you, then that's a life wasted.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I just had to get a bit deep.
I love this. I'm not complaining at all. Yeah, I think my mom was talking about something like this just a few days ago, about how it's not time that's moving, that it's us that's moving. We're the ones that are getting older, and you know, time is just always moving. Life is always always going on. You know, there's people 100 years ago that had a whole life and dreams and experiences and whatever, and we don't know anything about them. You have to be very precious with your time and how you use it. I completely relate to that. I admire that, because some people can have a life-threatening experience and be like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, some people can just move on, like, and not try to better themselves afterwards. So it's very admirable to hear that you went through this and that you wanted to just be better and to appreciate.
I really got to see that life is so short. And there's a saying that I live by, which is, if it won't matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes on it. Because I think in life, we often get affected by things that we really can't change.
It's true. It's definitely true. As somebody who does tend to focus on things I can't control, I can completely relate to that statement. And every time I've kind of come up from that experience, I realize how much of a waste of time it was. I mean, recently, like, okay, we had Christmas and it was shook a little bit by COVID. And so my parents weren't able to fly out, or my family wasn't able to fly out, you know, in time. And so we had to postpone the real Christmas festivities. And I just remember, like, bawling my eyes out about this. I was genuinely so sad that they couldn't come out for Christmas. And it was literally out of all of our control. Nobody could do anything about this. It was just COVID. COVID is, it sucks. It's always tearing families apart and all of that. And when they finally came around the 6th, I was like so relieved and so happy and just like thinking to myself, damn, why was I so sad? Like, they eventually came. Like, it was later than expected, but they were able to come. And I was so angry with myself for being so sad that things didn't go exactly how I wanted them to go. And I was like, but this is the lesson that I've always learned. Almost nothing goes the way that it's supposed to go, you know, the way that we envision it. So why am I always falling? You know what? If there's going to be a New Year's resolution, I think it has to be that for me.
On the topic of starting your career so young, how did it feel when people started telling you that they listened to your music and that they liked the work you're putting out? Was it very reaffirming?
Yeah, definitely. It's very validating to know that people care enough. There's something in the music that they resonate with, that they see themselves in. But it is still weird. I think it's weird for me to think of myself the way that I would think of artists that I love. It's so deep. The messages that I get from people who listen are always on a very deep level. It's always something that they are resonating with on a level that's not superficial at all. Yeah. And I love that, because I to believe that my music is not superficial at all, because it comes from a real place. It comes from my feelings and, you know, my experiences and all of that. So to see that there's this deep sense of love and humanity in the fandom, that for me is more affirmation than like the numbers.
That's so interesting. And what can your fans and supporters expect from you this year?
I'm in a very creative space, I won't lie. I don't want to say anything. We're going to be just fine. It came out way later than it was supposed to. What I will say is that I'm in a very creative space, and I'm in a experimental space. Definitely an experimental space. There's going to be more features, more production, and more Black women. But yeah, it's going to be a treat. I'm in the space that I need to be in to make really good music. And yeah, so that's what they can expect. Really good music.
As we get to rounding off, on the podcast, we have a signature question, which is, what does happiness mean to you? So today, Miss Fila Lala, what does happiness mean to you?
Happiness to me is a journey. It's not something that we attain and then never have to reattain. It's something that we always have to find ourselves walking towards, catching up with, because we're human. And so happiness is not the only emotion we're ever going to feel, but it's a journey, and it's a journey that's worth pursuing, because there's so much that's encompassed in happiness. It's love, it's light, it's warmth, family, friendship, all of that. Music for me, you know. So yeah, I'd say happiness is a journey.
That's such an interesting perspective that you have on happiness. And with that, I'll just like to say thank you so much for joining us on The Morning News today. It was an absolute honor getting to speak to you, and we wish you the best in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Thank you for getting deep with me. I loved it. I appreciated every moment of it. And thank you for having me. I know it's a little later than we planned, but this was amazing. And I hope to come on here again and, you know, talk my feelings shit. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Morning Muse. See you next week.